Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of 5-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The Homeworks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
It's Boomer and Geo live from Jets Camp on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And we've got Aaron Rodgers walking up to this set. What's going on, Aaron? Good to see you again, man.
You're much better mood this year than he was last year.
He's smiling. Last year, if you probably don't remember, we do, because it's in ingrained in my memory forever. You walked in. You were in like 2 hours of traffic. There were three jackknife tractor trailers. You walked in and
two.
Okay.
Just two.
And you sat down and you weren't having it. So today we got a
Oh,
you were not having it.
No, you were not having it at all.
So this handshake that we had here.
I'm telling you, life, you just have to, if you set it up the right way. So now I don't even get on the freeway anymore in the morning. I have a nice little drive. I can listen to whatever the hell I want. And now I get in and have a good mood.
There you go. Good to see you.
I never have to sit one damn minute in traffic.
This is the best.
You're always moving, you know? Nice little side streets. You got a stop sign every now and then.
Yeah. Well, nice. Listen to this. You learned.
Their dogs out there.
You've learned.
It's not just on the highway. fingers. Chaos. Yeah.
Yep. It shaves years off your life, man. I'm slowly learning to not lose my mind in those situations.
How do you do?
I shut everything off.
Just wake up, you know, wash your face, put your makeup on the same way every day, and get after it.
No. You have to. Every day is different, man. Oh.
He's got a 62-mile drive every single day into New York City.
62 miles?
Yeah, into New York City,
From Long Island. So he's in the middle of Long Island, you know, where the Jets used to play when they were in New York. Now I know they're in Jersey now.
I heard, you know, is it true that people everywhere get as sensitive as I saw the other day when I said that Long Island was basically just like Jersey?
Oh, God, you can't do that. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
There's always something, you know, regionally that gets people going.
Oh, yeah. and
in Wisconsin, it was happy cows come from California. Ooh.
No.
I'm telling you, that is like a hot poker for them.
By the way, I just got back from Wisconsin, Sand Valley.
Oh,
it was
beautiful.
Great.
Did you play the par three?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I love the par three.
Yes,
and how many got going? Mammoth?
They got five courses now.
Five courses?
The Lido Valley, Sand Valley. The Lido is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Lido is after a Long Island golf course that was recreated and brought back to life and was awesome. So
in Big Rome, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Rome, Wisconsin.
How about that?
Do you miss Wisconsin?
Some parts of it, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What parts do you miss?
I miss being able to go to Sand Valley, you know?
Right.
And in Whitsun Straits.
Some great golf.
Beautiful stuff.
I know there's great golf here, but I think it just seems closer out there because Sheboygan from Green Bay is like 45 minutes.
Now, if you want to go out to the Hamptons from here, forget it's going to take you 3 weeks.
I thought you were more of a Nantucket guy.
No, I'm a Long Island.
You're a Long Island
through, okay, bro. Right. That's the way it is, man.
He's doing it again.
I know.
Now you're stirring the pot with different areas. A Nantucket guy. Look like a Nantucket guy.
Well, I look like a Nantucket
Come
guy.
On. Of course not.
He's a Martha's Vineyard guy.
Please. Listen, let me ask you this question. How's the Achilles?
See, we're getting going.
Yes.
Let's go.
How's the Achilles? How's the leg? Everything good?
Yeah, I feel good. It's been a long, you know, 10 months or whatever, rehab, maybe even more. But, I felt great at probably 4 months and then about the same for the next 3 months. And then it was the last 3 months been feeling kind of last 5-10%.
Why was it important for you to come back and practice last year?
Mentally, I think. It was just such a heartbreaking, frustrating, you know, start after so much excitement and euphoria and expectations. I busted my ass those first 3 months and felt really, really good. And then once, you know, we were out of it, I, you know, was designated to return. And, you know, I had fun at practice, but that was, you know, still not a down part of the entire year after all the excitement and expectations. But then we kind of backed off for like a month or so and just kind of let me mentally and physically kind of rest and then kind of dove back in the rehab.
So, I mean, not to get too philosophical, but to reach
you
your...
You woke up, you know, you put on your island shirt.
Yeah,
your
vibes, I did. That's right. You know? Yes, look at that.
Yeah,
but
you're in a good mood.
I was in a good mood. I just came back from Italy. This is the first show I've done after, like, 9 days in Italy.
Nice.
So I knew, like, nothing that was going on. Like, you could have hurt yourself again. I wouldn't have known because I just showed up here. I was like, just tell me what happened.
You didn't follow the Olympics, the excitement, all that?
No. I just had to detach for a little bit. But in order, I've always believe in order to get to the best version of yourself, you got to go through some horrible stuff. And what happened last year to you, I think could be end up being a good thing, and things that you didn't know that you were capable of, you end up being capable of because you went through that. Is that fair to say, or is that just some stupid, like, fortune cookie thing?
Not about fortune cookies. I mean, there's some other people that have said similar stuff. No, but I believe that for sure, that I have a hard time with the whole everything happens for a reason thought process, because I think like that glosses over a lot of really crappy times, and I think it's okay to wish things had gotten better or easier, learn a lesson without going through that. But I think there can be some little beautiful miracles in the midst of the chaos and frustration and heartbreak, and I think there were some really special things that happened in my life during the last 10 months, but I think I had to go to some dark places in order to fully experience the highs. There's the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens, and kind of experienced a lot of that. I'm going to try and stay more in the in-betweens here for the next run.
You know, for me, I had a lot of lows here when I was the quarterback of the Jets. the trip to Egypt wasn't there. The ayahuasca wasn't there back then. I wish it was.
It was.
Maybe
you
it was.
Said he had to go find it.
I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was like living in the third dimension, if you will, especially after three coaches in 3 years. But you do understand the history of the Jets. I know you do.
Yeah.
And you know that they haven't been to the playoffs since 2020. It's a frustrated fan base. Yeah, 2010, excuse me. But it's a frustrated fan base.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that you want to be great. I know you want to be the guy that you were in Green Bay. But I think, you know, there's a point where you can put too much pressure on yourself. And I'm just wondering, do you think about that pressure? And do you think about trying to deliver everything that you are to the fans?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think that's a fuel, you know. I mean, you're a great competitor. Like, us great competitors, we'd like to put on the line. And we realize that success and failure is not binary wins and losses. You know, it's a mindset. It's going out there and willing to put your best on the line, knowing when it's not going to be good enough in a win-loss matrix every single time. You know, it's just so rare. You go 17-0. But the most important thing is being willing to put it out there and not let the fear of failure cripple you. The fear of failure is a motivator, because you embrace that and you set your sights on success as being your best. And being your best is multifaceted. It's a preparation. It's a mindset. It's a willingness to lay it on the line. I think we all want to do that. As far as the pressure of coming through for the fans, that's the way it is. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play for two organizations that set a standard of excellence, not hey, let's just have a pretty good season. You know, let's be the best. And I think that's what you want to play. And you don't want to play in a city where they're just so excited to, you know, win a few games every year. You know, it's like, no, they're not excited around here for that.
They want more.
Let's go, you know, get it done and get the hell out, you know. So that's the type of team we want to play for.
So this Ian O'Connor book, was this an authorized or not authorized biography by you?
That's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
Is it not?
I guess. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
I can't. I honestly, I swear to you, I was looking up this. I couldn't figure it out because there were quotes in there. So it looked like you gave your blessing. But then on the other hand, it looked like there was stuff in there that you didn't want to be in there. So I was confused. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask him as opposed to look up the answer on the internet.
He did a lot of research. It has nothing to do with me. Right. But he did a lot of research on his own. He's done other books with other you know, famous people in sports. I think he reached out to 500 people and talked to maybe half those people. At the end, before, although he'd already written, I believe, a first draft, we had a conversation and sat down. It was more just kind of him asking a few things. A lot of the stuff that was in there, I mean, is 20-plus years old. And I commend him for the time he spent on it, but it's not a book that I... you know, asked him to write for me. He wrote it on his own, and there'll be some interesting things in there that are perspective-based. There'll for sure be some stuff that's true. I mean, he wrote the first chapter, I believe, about my grandfather, which is pretty cool. I mean, he came, he sent me a copy of the, there was a war crimes tribunal that got together because my grandfather was shot down in the First World War and spent 9 months in a POW camp, and there were some rough conditions there, and he got to testify in front of the War Crimes Commission. That's not the cool part. The cool part is that he had to give a bunch of information out about his past, and so I got to learn stuff about my grandfather, like where he was living at, what his jobs were. I didn't know he went to the University of Texas at Austin, you know, a bunch of really cool things. So I appreciate that kind of research that he did. And there's other stories in there that are true, that I'm sure are true. There's stories that are maybe, you know, exaggerated over time. There's stories that are prospectively true to people because that's what it seemed to them. But it'll be interesting. I'm not sure if I'm going to read it or not. I'm definitely going to read a chapter about my grandfather. But... I'm sure there'll be stuff.
Yeah, there's a nice excerpt in the New York Post today if you'd like to read it.
I bet there is.
About Olivia and everything else. And you, look, yeah, you're 20 years. You've been around for 20 years. You're one of the greatest quarterbacks of his era and will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And you're a very interesting guy. And you're not afraid to say things.
I'm not.
And this is why things like this tend to follow you around. I mean, like, you know, it's just a part of your life. It's a part of who you are. I've always said that, like, of all the guys that I've ever interviewed in the NFL that have played our position, I don't necessarily know that there's anybody that thinks the way that you do. Maybe Tom Brady to a certain extent, but the things that you think about are different than what everybody else is thinking about.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Well, I think that that is partially true. I think the other part is I'm willing to say non-cliche things every single time we sit down for something like this. I'm not worried about the repercussions from it. But, yeah, there's some interesting stories, I'm sure, that come out of it.
There will be, yes.
And ones that are not based in a lot of fact, to be honest.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you are covered? 0 being not fairly, 10 being fair, where do you think? In national media, whatever media, just overall, how do you think you're covered, fairly or not?
I will respond to that with a scale of how much I care, and it's don't give a is... 0 and care deeply about it is 10, and I would say it's about a 1.
But I will respond with this. There are some times, though, you go on with McAfee and you want to fight against people saying things that are untrue or
when
whatever.
When things get so far down the narrative that it gets so ridiculous, and there'll be things probably in this book that are on that level. But listen, I had a conversation with Ian, and he was, you know, I commend him. He was trying to do a really good job and getting the, you know, entire picture, but... you have to put everything into context. I don't know what kind of book he's going to write. I do know that when I met him, one of the first things he said was, "I'm double vaxxed and double boosted."
Was he wearing a mask?
And then right. He went on a story about, you know, Kyrie Irving. I'm sure it'll be an interesting read. I'm sure he talked to a lot of people that I know and love. So
he spoke to me.
Yeah,
okay. He did. Yeah, and yeah. You know, it was interesting because of, you know, just my history here, just watching you try to go through all of this and then unfortunately get hurt in the way you did, and just the amount of press and the amount of attention that you've brought to this organization, which is exactly what they wanted.
Of course.
That's exactly why you're here.
Yeah, to win and to get
to win.
To win, yes. But, I mean, the Jets wanted credibility. They wanted, you know, and they know. Look, you've even said this. I've said this. The fact that Rob Saleh is still here with the losing record and the fact that you got hurt, I think, saved his job. And, you know, everybody's job is on the line. It always is in the NFL, but here especially with a losing record for a head coach, which I think is the reality of the business.
Yeah, well, that's a very reactive business, you know?
Yes.
Like, how many coaches are losing their job in the first year at places that are rebuild places? Like, some of the owners, I don't understand. I don't think they realize when they're in a rebuild and when they can actually win now. That's what's going to be interesting about Chicago is I feel like everybody's going, oh, it's a win-now team, you know? But you have a rookie quarterback. Like, it takes some time. I hope it doesn't because I like Caleb, but it takes time for places, and it takes time to change culture.
Well, it's amazing. You were one of those quarterbacks that actually sat, and you sat for three years. So it was 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And what would you, like, if you were giving advice to ownership about drafting these kids so young and then throwing them out on the field, what would your advice be?
Well, I think it's a combination. You have to, it has to be the right fit, you know, system-wise, and then you have to realize it's going to take some time for most quarterbacks. I think there's been very few over the years. Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind. Dan Marino, maybe it was skill set, maybe it was fit. I mean,
CJ Stroud last year, maybe.
CJ Stroud, yeah. But, I mean, that one kind of came out of nowhere. I feel like Pittsburgh knew they were really close when they drafted Ben in 04. Miami, I don't know if they knew they were close. Maybe it was just that Dan, could play right away. But I don't know that Houston knew they were going to be really good last year. Now, CJ took care of the football well and was opportunistic. That's a good start. But it's still most of the teams that are picking the quarterbacks they expect to turn the entire thing around are picking at the top of the draft. You know, most of the time that doesn't mean that they are ready to be a playoff team right away. So that's why it's so rare. But I would say to be comfortable sitting or be comfortable being patient because it usually takes some time.
Did you come back from Egypt with a better understanding or a theory that you believed more in with the building of the pyramids before going there?
I don't think I came back with an altered mindset, no. That was an important trip for me mentally. That was something that I thought about within a few months after tearing my Achilles and kind of prognosticated out when I wanted to be there and looked at dates. So that was something that was on my mind to be able to kind of like finalize all the, you know, the transmutation of the sadness and frustration and disappointment and heartbreak going somewhere I've wanted to go since I was a child. So
did it live up to the expectations?
Yeah, it was one of the few places in life where it kind of exceeded the expectations, to be honest. The only other place that kind of has been that time was when I went to Augusta. Honestly.
Augusta in Egypt, yes.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like, no, there's very few places in life. You know, that's why if you put your expectations too high, you're going to set yourself up for some sort of disappointment. But I had a better time than I even thought I could have.
Yeah. Expectation is the thief of joy. That is one of my lines. See,
comparison, yeah.
Yeah, see, how about that? We have a man here who is very much like you in investigating different things and trying to find answers, and he's been dying to ask you this particular question because he's never heard your opinion on it. So this is Al Dukes, our executive producer.
Hi.
So this here's your opportunity, Al.
So there's this guy on Twitter named Ashton Forbes who's been investigating the Malaysian Air that disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's got a very extensive argument with what he claims are military videos and this sort of thing, that the U.S. government took the plane to Diego Garcia military base. And it's very interesting. He supposedly was booked on Rogan, and then Rogan canceled him for some reason. Have you ever looked into that thing at all? And what do you think?
I have. I've seen,
interesting.
I've seen some things. I think that I've seen some of their videos with the three objects in the plane. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one for me.
Yeah, what's weird is that it's really that guy, and I don't see a lot of other people talking about it. And I would think that'd be something like Rogan or somebody else would want to look into. Because it's pretty compelling what the guy lays out.
Yeah, it's interesting, for sure. Compelling, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't spent a ton of time on it. I always thought it was interesting how the planes are able to disappear like that, because I believe there's still only two or three companies that make all the engines for the planes. They're able to track them. But I don't know. I mean, wasn't there wreckage in the Indian Ocean?
Yeah, well, they claim.
Just a little bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I've actually been going back and watching one of my favorite shows during this training camp, Lost. So,
of course.
You know, a lot of similarities, right, with that one.
Where, yes.
You know, Whitmore hit a bunch of, you know, fake planes, buildings at the bottom of the ocean. Although, with Lost, there's so many weird storylines going on. You don't even know what the hell's going on half the time.
I would be thinking you'd be watching the San Francisco defense.
Oh, yeah.
Here he comes. Big old boomer here. Old school NFL guy.
Yes.
Here he comes. Bursts through the door.
I was telling Tyler Conklin, I said, and even to CJ Mosley, I'm like, you know, the schedule comes out, you look at it, and there's that first game against San Francisco. That's your hometown team, you know, and I know this is probably going to be a great opening night for you that night. But I always wondered about those teams, and always wondered, it was always in the forefront of my mind, especially when training camp opened. And I'm thinking that I would imagine that it's a huge game for you. It's a huge game for you to get back on the field. And do you want to play in preseason? Do you want to get out there? Do you want to feel the rush again before that?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, I don't think I need to. As long as I'm making the right reactions in practice. You know, I obviously didn't get to play a whole lot last year. That's kind of a joke. But I was able to be back at practice, I think, so I didn't miss the entire year. And obviously was here for 10 of the 12 OTAs in training camp, so that's important. Obviously, there's a little bit maybe change in speed and mindset, because you know you can get hit when you're out there, but preseason is not real football. I've said that before. It's different. Obviously, you're still tackling, so that part's real. And there's the threat of being rushed, which is real, but the coverages. Now, last year with Wink, the few plays we played, and he told us pregame he was going to play cover three and chill out, and then he brought zero on the first play, and zero on the second play, and zero down the red zone. So that was like you're really playing. You know, the first play we had like weak Ken Mike, so it's a lead play, weak open side or close side, and he comes out, and of course he's lined up in zero, and so I check it over to Mike and throw a backside run solution to G and look over at Wink and gave him the finger like, what are you doing, bro? that was the start to the whole thing. But so I respect that. But most people aren't like Wink. You know, there's going to be like one eye zone. Nobody wants to show anything in the preseason.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like, are we going to be able to run the offense we've been running in training camp? We're going to run the dumbed down version that it showed in the games. Like, to me, what's the point of that? Yeah, I think that's why it's hard for young player evaluation in this in today's days. I feel like there was less restriction of play calling in preseason. Obviously, you weren't showing everything you're working on, but you're still, what's the gist of it? What are we trying to do? Let's get that out there, because I think the most important evaluation for these young guys, and I think I'm still in the minority a little bit, is what they do on the practice field, because you're going against a defense that's actually working on things, that's doing different things, that's bringing pressures. They're not just sitting back and doing nothing. Like, we're running our offense. It's like for a quarterback evaluation, we're running an offense that involves an understanding of fronts and movement and where the point's going for runs and passes. Then we get into a game situation, we're not doing any of the stuff that we're doing in practice, and they don't have to play quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. I still have to go out there and make the throws and stuff, and I thought both guys, Peasley and Martinez did a nice job in the game. But the better evaluation for me, and I've told them this, is what they're doing in practice, because now you're seeing defenses that are really actually trying things.
Now, I know that Boomer made a comparison between you and Brady before, just like seeing the game, but I think you guys couldn't be more different just from viewing from the outside. For example, I could be dead wrong about this.
Might be.
And I probably will be. but and we want you to be here for as long as possible. If you can play for five more years, awesome. But when you do retire, you're not going to take a deal to go in a booth. You're going to be gone. We're not going to hear from you at all. You're not going to be, as much as you love football, you're going to be away from it. You're going to be doing different things and using that portion of your life to explore just other avenues, as opposed to like ending up with somewhere in a booth next to Al Michaels or something.
I love Al Michaels, and that'd be I mean, that'd be a dream, honestly. But no.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what I have you thought about where you're going to live?
No. Not extensively, or not even anywhere I'd tell you.
You're not coming over for dinner, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, cuz that's going to be fascinating for me, like where, cuz you're going to have the opportunity to live wherever you want, and where you choose is going to be really interesting.
Well, let's see where the world's going on.
That's true.
Don't get him started.
Yeah, don't get him started.
Right. But I think Malibu is a pretty good place to start.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
He's going to get out of the U.S. for a while, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Where do you see him? Do you have a particular place in mind, like Mykonos or something? Egypt.
Mykonos.
Mykonos would be good.
What about like Iceland?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I could see you there.
Yeah.
I don't know, somewhere, but you'll be bopping around. You'll get bored of one particular place, I think. But you're going to go see.
Projection.
Yeah. Have you seen the Northern Lights?
Yeah.
Oh, you have. Okay. Because I figured you'd do that first. You'd go up.
That
and
was on
see
the bucket
that.
List. I did that. Though. I was in Alaska.
Oh wow. So, all right. So yeah. What's left on the bucket list?
I'm not telling you.
Come on. It's got to be something good.
For my next OTA trip.
But at least for mini camp next year.
You're going to miss week six to go.
All right. So that brings up one thing. You brought it up, so I got to ask you. The messaging, I mean, like, I knew that you were leaving to go, and I knew that you were going to miss minicamp. If I knew that, then the team had to know that. And then the messaging comes out that you had an unexcused absence for minicamp. Were you annoyed by that?
I was enjoying my time in Egypt, so
right.
I wasn't annoyed about anything.
At that point.
No, I mean, listen, we all have our jobs and responsibilities. You know, there's not an issue between Robert and I. I think people thought, oh, there's some sort of friction. It's like, no, you know. And, you know, in those situations, you know, there's probably ideas about what the back channels were and were people trying to, you know, sway, you know, everybody make everybody feel okay. And it's like, no, there was nothing needed. Hey, I'm good. I'm in Egypt. I'm having a good time.
Okay.
You know, enjoying my vacation and my mental clarity. And, you know, it's going to be a story regardless, and people are going to run with whatever headline that they want. Sometimes it's going to be dead on accurate, and you know, in some situations, like, how the hell did they know that? And sometimes you're learning stuff about yourself.
That's true. That's
and
true.
Everything in between.
And one final question for me. Did you ever get to play that round of golf with Davante Adams?
We've played a lot of golf over the years.
Okay, I was just saying you were looking forward to playing with him again. I was just wondering if you guys ever played that.
No, I was hoping he'd play a little bit better in Tahoe because I would have loved to to get in the same group with him again.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see you in the same group too,
Aaron. Thank you. This was so much better than last year. I couldn't forget about that interview last year, like for a full year, and I'm like cleansed now. Like,
okay,
I needed this. So thank you and best of luck this season.
It wasn't you. It's not you.
Right. Well, it's part me. Of it was.
No,
it was
you.
All of us. It was a collective effort. We were off
you.
Our game.
Right.
You were pissed
you.
Off. It was horrible.
You.
Anyway.
It wasn't Boom, though.
No, definitely not
him. Thank God. Thank God it wasn't me, man.
It's never him.
If it is me, just let me know, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Guys.
It's great to see you, brother. Good luck this year, man.
Have a great year, man. Thank you.